I asked the Rebbe before if it's appropriate to say today is Isru Chag, to wish to a Freilich an Isru Chag. Said he was wondering the same thing, but I think certainly right now to say a Freilich an Isru Chag is very appropriate. The reason why is Hanukkah is a yontov which is very much built on the chashivas, the importance of Torah Shabbat Peh, of learning Torah, being involved in Torah, the toil in Torah. And to extend Hanukkah now, the way every one of you are doing is incredible. And if there's any more appropriate topic than the Chukasim Le'Selechu, which is the idea very much of the Havdalah, the difference, the way we separate ourselves, as Marcus said before, from the world around us, there's probably no more way that it comes out where we celebrate, quote unquote, the new year. Just a few months ago, we sat in shul screaming in the Sana Tekif. We were davening. It was a day full of tshuva, of tefillah. I'm not sure about you, but in Cincinnati, New Year is celebrated not the same way. It's only not January 1st. I have a neighbor across the street who I don't see much of, but the entire night, a couple nights ago, a lot of action, a lot of lights. There's disco lights going on there, way into the wee hours of the morning. Now, Cincinnati may be behind in many ways. There's a famous line that Mark Twain once said about Cincinnati, that when the world ends, he wants to be in Cincinnati, because everything happens there 10 years later. So we're a little bit behind maybe in some things. It didn't look like it was the way we were behind in the way we celebrated New Year. Seemed to be very much up on top of the game. And Baruch Hashem, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah very differently. But even the new year, the second of the new year, we celebrate very differently. We're here today, sitting and learning, which is an unbelievable schus in a way to celebrate the new year. I want to begin this very, really overwhelming topic, because it encompasses so much of who we're about. I'm going to try to touch upon some of the foundational aspects of it, and then some of the practical aspects of it. Rabbi Muske was very nervous when I sent in a 6-page handout with 31 sources. Still some handouts, I think, on the Bima. He was nervous how long the shiur was going to take. And he forgot that he told me that the shiur is officially an hour, but I can go overtime. Overtime can mean an hour overtime, 2 hours overtime. We'll find that. But he didn't realize what he said when he was setting me up for that. So, 31 Rabbi Muske, hopefully we can get through at least the majority of them. A follower of mine told me last week that a number of years ago he was invited to be was 23 years old, to be a rabbi in a small outlying community. Makes Cincinnati look big. And he was there for Elul, and he got there with Shredish Elul, and they asked him to daven for the Amid Musaf. So he daven Musaf for the Amid, and he finishes the Musaf, he turns around, and there's not one person there. Everyone was gone. So he walks outside and he sees an older person sitting outside. He goes, "Everyone have to go to work?" He's like, "No, they're downstairs eating breakfast." And he went downstairs and he saw the mitaka eating breakfast. And he says, "Like, your business was a little bit long. So if I finish and no one's here, I'll know why." But I'm very much looking forward to learning Torah together with everyone. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. I want to begin where everything starts from, the Torah itself. Two psukim, which really give us the background and the concepts of everything we're going to talk about. Pasuk in Yikur Yuches, Gimel, which is the first source. Yikur Chaf, Pasuk of Gimel, the second source. And really both of them are very similar concepts. Those will see, give us a very different insight into what this concept is all about. The Torah says, "Kamashi Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yisasim Ala Yisasu, Kamashi Eretz Kanan Hashem, Yemidi Yisrael Shom Ala Yisasu." Talking about the history of Kal Yisrael, you were in Mitzrayim, and the ways that they went into, the immorality, everything in Mitzrayim stood for, don't go in those ways. and the ways of Canaan, which you're going into, Leisasin. The Torah ends off with three words, the famous words, because Baruch Hu gives us our command, don't follow in their chukim. Chukim is a very mysterious word. We'll discuss that more in a moment. We normally translate as their laws, their ways. Don't follow in those. The Pasuk continues in Parashas Kedoshim, don't go and follow in the ways of the nations around you. And the first obvious question is the need for two different sukkim. Two sukkim seemingly saying a very similar concept. Don't go in their ways. What exactly do two sukkim telling us? So the first three are quoted on the Mefarish on the Sadigai Sefer HaMitzvahs. He tells us a fascinating concept. And this is really the heart of what we're going to try to focus on. He answers the question, really, on the Rambam, on the Sefer HaChinuch, on many of the Rishonim, when they bring down the mitzvah of not following in the ways of the world around us, they focus on the pasuk in Kedoshim. The second pasuk we mentioned. And yes, why are they focusing on the second pasuk? You would assume that when the Sefer HaMitzvahs are bringing down this mitzvah, they would take the first earlier pasuk in the Torah, and that would be the source for this mitzvah. But the Rambam and the Chinuch, another Rishonim recording this mitzvah, focus on the latter pasuk, the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. And he explains so beautifully that there are really two different worlds in this mitzvah. There's the first pasuk, the pasuk in Achreimus, which deals with one very particular way of not following in the ways of the non-Jews, and that's things which are asur, which are forbidden. Certainly, Avodah Zarah is the epitome of that, but there is much in between, things that are forbidden that are asur. He says, that's the pasuk. Don't go in their ways. And it's the entire psukim they're referring to things that are usher. The ways the Mitzrayim went, the ways the people in Eretz Canaan go with. Don't follow in those ways. And that's certainly things which are usher anyway. And the Torah is really adding in almost a second issur. That besides their usher for their very issue itself, whether it's Avodah Zarah or anything else, the second issue. Don't be following in their ways. But then, the Sifrei HaMitzvahs are going and saying a whole other world, another component of this mitzvah. And that's the second pasuk, which the Sifrei HaMitzvahs really the focus on as the source, as the main source of what we're talking about. Well, Selcha B'chukas HaGoi is not talking about Isurin. It's not talking about things that are usher anyway. It's talking about things that are inherently permissible, inherently mutter. And just quoting from the end of Surah 3, I will bequal Parashas Kedoshim, the Messiah Kro Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Evdalti Eschem in Ha'amin, Avdol Eschem in Ha'amin Liya Yisli. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to master Asher Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avdilam Legami, Avdilam in the Messiah Menahigam, from their ways of doing things, from their customs. V'darki Ha'amir Hashem, V'tad Akman Ein Dem Shum Aveirah. Things which are really inherently permissible. There's nothing wrong with them. But the very fact that this is the way the world goes with, there's a thing staying away from. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, I want you to be different, to be special, to be totally separated in every way from the world around us. Because if we're not going to realize how special we are, how different we are, the greatest tragedies and calamities that have befallen Klal Yisrael have resulted from exactly that. Not realizing we're unique, we're special, we're different. But the second that we fall into that almost difficult trap, which is unfortunately been the downfall of much of what Klal Yisrael has gone through in Golus, is not feeling and realizing we're different, we're special and unique. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in the Torah, Leisalcha B'chukas HaGoy, be different! Not on things that are awesome, not on things that are forbidden, but separate yourself in every aspect, every way. And that really begs the question, so what does that mean? Practically, how do we define not going in their ways? What are their ways? What are the things that are unique to the world around us that we can't and we shouldn't be and we don't want to be following in? And that's what we're going to try to define today. What are those things that are different and unique that we have to make ourselves separate from? So I started off with the Chinuch and the Rambam. Really two sides of almost the same coin. Really again giving us this background introduction. Source 4 mentioned the Chinuch, Sefer HaChinuch in the Sefer HaMitzvah. He says in very short words, Mishorshei HaMitzvah. The Sherish, the root of this mitzvah. Kedei L'Tzrachet Mehem. He has a point to distance ourselves from the world around us. To stay separate, stay apart. As Rakhisi mentioned, the water, the oil. We're different. We're separate. It almost sounds like this is a Sur Meirah. Stay away from the ways of the non-Jews, of the world around us, because distancing yourself will create something if you're staying away from things which are not necessarily taking you in the right direction. That's the Chinuch Sekhel L'Tzrachet Mehem. Distance yourself from them. The next page, in according to the Lashon HaRambam, language of the Rambam says it's slightly different. Really, perhaps the next step, the next stage, after the Chinuch. The Rambam says a number of examples of ways in clothing and dress and the way we style our hair. We'll talk more about this coming up. The Rambam says, Hakol v'inyan efah. That it's really all one focus, one goal. Humadash l'yidmel hen. Ela yisrol muvdo mehen v'yadua v'mabusha v'vishar ma'isav. The Rambam is almost taking it one step further. It's not just about staying away, distancing ourselves from the world around us. It's about realizing we're special, we're uplifted, we're different. We want to realize that we're muvdo and we used to feel a pride. And the Rambam refers to clothing as one aspect, style here is another aspect. A person should walk down the street with a pride. And the way he appears, the way he looks, the way he talks, the way he defines himself. I am something special. I am something different and unique. And that's the two sides of the coin. Yes, being separate, not to fall into their ways, but also the realization of who we are, how special and unique we are. So where does this play itself at? And how exactly are we going to express this so in the world of halakha? So the foundation in halacha, in the Tshuva and the Marik, which we'll see is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Marik was bothered with and questioned with the following. It seems like at that time it was the practice of doctors, and perhaps others, to wear different clothing, special clothing, similar to maybe a doctor's coat that's worn today. It was a long coat. And the Marik was questioned, being that was something that was common by the world around us to wear, for a person who, let's say, the doctor or any other profession that wears this special unique clothing, would that be an issue for the same leisaleichu? Now it sounds like it's a very obscure question. Why would one even assume that this is an issue? The premise of the question seems to be is that once this is accepted in the world, and perhaps in the professional world, this was first worn particularly by the world around us, by the non-Jews. Now a person who joined that profession, maybe perhaps the first person who joined that profession, and to go put on that type of clothing, which is not something worn generally by the Jews, is that something which will be an issue? I'm now following in their ways. I'm putting on a similar clothing, article of clothing, like they did. That was the question Marik was faced with. And the Marik says a fascinating concept, which really, as we'll see, is the basis for so much of the halacha around this issue. And the Marik says there are two unique ways that there'll be an issue. And if it violates either one of those two ways, that's where there's an issue. But if it doesn't fall into that, either one of those concepts, there's no issue. One of the two ways, the Marik says, is an issue. And he starts off with number one, according to, in source six now, there are two or three lines from the bottom. Upashad, he says. There's only one of two ways where a person can have an issue with the same way. Ha'echad, he says, who are davar she'ein taimai nigla. Kidimashma loshen chayk. Says in Marik, the word chayk, which we normally translate as a law, we know chayk means not just a law. It means a law which doesn't have a reason. You know, Rashi and the Rambam will say this in Chumash, that chayk is generally referred to a type of mitzvah that doesn't have a reason to it. We have chukim, we have mishpatim, different type of mitzvahs. Says the Marik, when it comes to chukim, saying, "Ma'aseh leichu," the Torah used the word chayk to tell us exactly the same concept. Chayk refers to something which doesn't have a reason. They're doing something, they're wearing something, they're involved in something, they're doing an action which ain't time of migla. The reason's not known. They just do it, that's what they do. And if we go and follow and do the same action which doesn't have a real reason for it, that means why are we doing it for? Doesn't make any sense in the first place. They chose to do this. And we're following that, that means we're going and following in their ways. Chukai say in their chukum leisei leisei. Don't go in their ways. Number one. Number two, he says, in the next column, towards the bottom, Vini nasheni, yeshlasa b'shem chukas agoyen, hu davar shesayat boi minna tritzas gedra at sniyus v'anova. There's something which is lacking, which is a breach in sneus, in priestess, or another. So Jews are naturally people. We pride ourselves on being modest, humble people. And whether it's an article of clothing or a way of doing something, which is a breach in that, and we follow that, it could be not us per se, but something which has an aspect of it, which is a breach in the modesty, in the humility that we're known for, we pride ourselves in, that's something which the Marik says also is an aspect of Kukasei Moisaleku. It's going in their ways and following something which is exactly the opposite of what we stand for, of what we're all about. Says the Marik, these are the two ways, the two times you have this issue. And therefore, going back to the original question, if there's an article of clothing that's worn, let's say, by a profession, let's say the doctor, why are they wearing that? There is a time, there is a reason for it. So a person should recognize it's a doctor. Give him the respect necessary for a doctor. It's something which is worn, but there is covering a way of respect. It says in Marik, it doesn't fall to either one of those reasons. It has a reason to it. It's not an aspect of a breach in who we are, what we're all about. Therefore, says in Marik, there's no question at all a person can wear that uniform or article of clothing that is being worn, let's say, only by the world around us, but now someone joins that profession or joins those ranks and he wants to wear that, says Alaric, no problem. 100% not. And this is the way the Ramah Shulchan Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch himself goes. The Ramah quotes the Marik in story 7. This is actually one siman of Shulchan Aruch, this subject, not a long siman at all. But the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Ayin Ches in Yeridea begins with exactly the words of the Rambam, and then the Ramah quotes the Marik. I'm going to paraphrase a few of the points. And Hochim Chukas Arizek Chavin says the Shulchan Aruch to Mechaber, a person cannot go in the ways of the world around us, but in the Damalem to compare ourselves and be similar to them. And he talks about clothing, he talks about hairstyles as the non-Jews went, and the person follows those ways. He talks about buildings that were done particularly by the way the world around us. A person who follows those ways, that's a violation of this system. Chukasakim. Says the Ramah, Eliyemuvdu mehevim mavushov. A person should be separate from them. Uvisham aishov. In their clothing and everything else they're doing, different, separate. Says the Ramah, according to Marik now, V'chol zeh eni osu ela v'davash enogu b'yotikachav. This is only things which are done by the non-Jews, which they treat us to do a breach in modesty, and he quotes the example of that, like wearing bright red clothing, which was something which was done as a way of gaining attraction, etc. And then he says, continues on, or something which is done as a minigur chayk. No reason. They do that. And we follow that. And the person who follows that says the Ramah, that's awesome. Now it's fascinating that the Ramah himself adds in one line, which is not from the Marik himself, it's actually from the Ran, that the Ramah says that the reason why you can't do something which we don't know the reason for, which the reason is not known, so we explained it the way the Marik seems to say, is because if they're doing it, okay, they have a reason, we don't know what the reason is, maybe there's no reason known at all, they decided some interesting thing. Think a common example of that could be, they have these things, you walk down the street during this time of the year, they have lights. Lights. Red lights, blue lights, yellow lights, lights all over. Not sure where it comes from. I don't think they know where it comes from. Someone once told me that there was a person who had a lot of stock in GE, and he created this concept, and he was very successful, and it took off. So wherever it comes from, it doesn't seem to have a reason behind it. So if someone goes and follows that, they want to decorate their house on this time of the year particularly, with something similar to that, there's no reason for it. It doesn't make any sense. They're doing that. Seems to be something which is beyond comprehension. Perhaps I'll give you an example of it. The Ramah actually quotes the Ran, who has a little different take on this concept of why something which is not done with a reason is the problem. And he says, because perhaps this really comes from a Shemitah Avodah Zarah. We don't know that. Not even sure if that's where it comes from, but maybe it comes from a concept, a connection to Avodah Zarah. And that's really the Ran says, this idea that something which has no reason, that might be the issue behind it. Either which way, the Ramah says those are the two cases which are an issue. Either it's something which is a breach in tzniyus, in anava, in modesty, in humility, or something which is clearly without reason, we don't know it, following in those ways, that's the result. So now we have the background. We have the foundation. This is where there's an issue, and seemingly anything beyond that is not. I want to now discuss, perhaps, in the time that we have, some very relevant questions, which mostly dealt with in the contemporary poskim, and different cases where this comes up and is discussed. Various amounts of shilas. First shilah, which is probably the most relevant, and shilah really jumps out from the Ramah himself, is the question of clothing. It's the truth that was posed to Ramosha Feinstein Zatzal, in Nigris Moshe. We were asked about people coming from other countries. Talks about Poland. The Polish dress was very different than American dress. Didn't look like in Poland the way it looks like today, the way we dress today. And Ramosha was asked the question, immigrants who are now coming to the new country, and they're coming to America, and their fathers, or they themselves, dress certainly very differently in Poland. And now they're coming to America, would that be an issue of Chukasayim or Solechit to go and now change their dress, modernize, if you want to call it, their dress, to be similar to the dress of the country that they're in. Is that an issue? Chukasayim or Solechit? They're going and acting and changing their appearance based on where they're living, on the certainly the world that they're coming into, would that be an issue? And this is the question of Moshe addressed in the Yerodeya Chelagalot, Simon Payalot. I'm going to read the beginning and end of this this quote that we mentioned. Bina Mabushin, as far as clothing, it was obvious that in the world of America there's no difference in the dress between the Jews and the non-Jews. Looks very, very similar. In the Chuyavim B'nei Poland, Shabbos L'Pai, is the ones who come from Poland and they're now coming to America. I know them, the ones who were born here from the immigrants. Are they required to go and wear the clothing that they wore in Poland? Maybe that's the requirement based on that's who they are, and they were separate certainly, their clothing looked different. Can they go and upgrade or change their dress when they come to America? And he quotes the Chassam Sefer, says, maybe even if their fathers already changed them to go and do, continue on in those ways, it's continuing that same mister, like you find that concept in other farm. And he says, look around. Seems to be something which everyone does. Everyone seems to have certainly changed, even those who came from immigrant parents, grandparents. certainly the generation afterwards, and usually that generation itself, didn't continue on in that dress. Is Af Yori Hashem, people who are certainly considered Yori Shemayim, doing the right thing, want to do the right thing, and they're certainly following in the ways of America in their dress. Is that something permissible? I want to jump to the end of this quote, where Moshe says something in a very clear manner, and I think it really will be built on the concept that we started. Says Moshe, there came Poshet, Shein Shum Shemet Ister, Bistan Begadim Shalei Shem Medina Zu. Says the Mishnah, there's no question. Based on the concept of what? The Marik. The Marik told us that what's the issue? When is there an issue? There's an issue when you have one of two things. You're wearing these clothing because there's a reason for it, which we don't understand. And maybe it's back to Avodah Zarah, maybe not. But they're wearing it for a particular reason. Or it's something which is connected to the breach in priestess, in another, in modesty and humility. Says the Moshe that we're talking about clothing, regular dress style clothing, which certainly is not a breach in anything of those issues. And he says, no question. It doesn't fall into those two categories, like the Marik taught us, there's no issue. Shane Shum Shemit Isa Basan Begadim Shalishim Medina Zu. Ask the Gamma Nokum Lishim Begadim, even though certainly the non Jews are wearing the same exact clothing. He says, Kivan the Aim and Shah Shemit, Venichosh, there's no question that they're not doing it for the reasons of a Rizara, or a priestess, or another. And therefore, there's no question. Now, certainly they will not extend to things which are not that way. Clothing and articles of clothing which would fall into those categories, certainly the Moshe wasn't talking about. He's talking about the classic regular clothing which certainly are respectable, certainly aren't a breach in the ideas of humility and modesty that we stand for. If those aren't a question of that, no question. Those clothing certainly are permissible, and if a person to go and follow the norms in dress of the world around him, the country around him, the society around him, certainly is permissible, a person can do so. Now, a person wants to go, certainly, and stand different, special, uniform, beautiful, wonderful. One of the reasons we wear yarmulkes for that reason. We certainly stand out, stand different. Even if we're dressed, quote-unquote, like them around us, certainly we're different. Obviously, the Hasidic world certainly has that concept. They're different, and they separate themselves in dress, a beautiful way of expressing this in a hidden, in a beautiful way. But as far as the halachic issue of chukasayim lozalechu, certainly to wear clothing which are similar to the environments that we're living in is no issue. And that's what Moshe's premise, again, based on this marek which we started with. Move on to a second issue. It's actually a fascinating topic in halacha. The topic of celebrating birthdays in general and how we celebrate them. Now, birthdays is something which we certainly... some people enjoy, some people don't enjoy. It really depends how old you are. And at some point, the question is, like, what age you start not enjoying birthdays? Or start not saying how old I am. My birthday is big Shiloh. And like, it's a person without that. Whatever that age may be, a person starts celebrating or not celebrating his birthday. Is there a halachic issue of celebrating birthdays? Now, it sounds like a very innocuous issue. What's the issue? Where does it come from? So we certainly know that the one source in the Torah for birthdays in Tanakh is Pari. Famous Pari, coming up, and the pasuk says, that we had recently in the parasha, it's the third day of Shlishi, the letters of Pari. Yes, Mishloach al Avodah, Yisrael, Shvishu, Saramashkim, and the whole episode took place, Saramashkim and the Sarai. And many persons can bring down and point to this pasuk, as if that is the source of the Torah. Why was the Torah pointing out that it was his birthday? Why was it pointing out that that was the day of his birth, and he was celebrating it? There are a number of persons who take the approach, you know why Terry's pointing that out? Because they're saying this was something that was done and celebrated by people such as Pari, by the people who are not necessarily the way we want to follow. And therefore, perhaps for us to follow, to celebrate, to make a celebration of a birthday, would be Yishuv Chukasayim L'Solechu, following in their ways of celebrating this idea. That's the premise of a number of places. I want to try to go through some of the temporary places, how they deal with this, and exactly, is it really an issue or not? So firstly, some sources of where else we find birthdays mentioned. Some of them negative, and a number of them, as we'll see, more positively. There's also a Mishnah. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah and the Avchas. Mishnah talks about the days of the holidays that were celebrated by the non-Jews. And it gives a list of holidays. Among the list of the holidays is Yom HaLev Yom HaMitzah, which refers over there to the birth and the death of kings. Of the non-Jewish kings. And they celebrated their birthday. That was a classic celebration that was done almost in the way of a holiday. We see it still in other places this is done, not necessarily by us, but by them, by the world around us, by the celebration similar to Pari of the king celebrating their birthday. The fascinating Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, which is mentioned in Source 11, talks about the soldiers that Amalek went and used to fight Klal Yisrael. Says Yerushalmi, who are those soldiers that were chosen to go and fight? It has to be your birthday. If it was your birthday, you were chosen as a soldier to fight against Klal Yisrael. Says the profession, why? Because on the birthday, the person has a good mazel, and he has the ability to be successful more than other days, and therefore they chose to go and fight against Klal Yisrael with soldiers who was that birthday that day. Fascinating. So it's something which was employed against us, used against us, by our arch enemy, Amalek. Another certainly negative, perhaps, source of birthdays in Chazal. But then we find many other places where birthdays are mentioned, also sourced in halachic terminology. There's actually a pasuk in Hosea, which according to Source 12, which talks about not just for the non-Jewish kings, but actually for the Jewish kings celebrating their birthday as well. Pasuk in Hosea says, Yom Malkeinu, Hechelu Sarim, was the day of their kings where the Sarim, the officers, got sick. What day is it talking about? It says in the Sudas David, this was the day of the birthdays of the kings, the Jewish kings. V'yom Simchas Melech Yisrael k'yom Aleda. It was the day of their birthday, of the Jewish kings. And unfortunately, the celebration maybe got a little out of hand. It says, Oz Nasu Asarim Cholim, before Nodis Me'ayayin, Ki'haru Lim, Listen, L'shti, Yom Nasu Cholim, Yubi HaShifras. So they took a little bit, maybe beyond what they should have. They celebrated with a little too much intoxication, but they did so, and they got a little sick as a result. That's the pasuk is referring to. But certainly the source that Mr. Rosal is referring to is a concept of a celebration of birthdays by Jewish kings. So we see now this was a practice not just done in the non-Jewish world and non-Jewish kings, it was certainly done by Jewish kings as well. Fast forwarding way beyond to the Pesachim of contemporary times, is the Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai mentions this idea. His talk is about Bar Mitzvah, but then he gets to another concept. Not just by Bar Mitzvah, but there are those who make a celebration every single year. On Yom HaLeidah L'Yantif, it turned into a Yantif. V'sim and Yafahu, he says. It's a nice, beautiful, wonderful sign. V'chein Noigin, the same way we do in our house, he says. That was a celebration of a birthday which was done on a yearly basis. He actually brings down that those who celebrate a little different version of their birthday, they celebrate the day of their bris, or the bris mitzvah, 8 days later, and if someone wants a double birthday, they can do both. They can get the celebration of their regular birthday and then Yom HaMilah. That's fine. But he says that was a custom that was done by others, but he certainly says in his house, they celebrated the birthday itself. There's a fascinating Ben Yehuda. He says in the famous story we're all familiar with, Lazar ben Azariah, the famous miracle that we talk about in the Pesach Seder, of he appeared and turned overnight like 70 years old. Listen to the language of the Gemara itself, which he picks up on. It's Gemara in Brachos, Afav Ches, Source 14. Gemara's language is, Hahu Yoima Batami Sari Shanihai. That day, he was 18 years old. And then he appeared, he had an ace that took place. Says the Ben Yayada, why does the Gemara say, that day, he was 18? Nearly. The Gemara pointed out it was that day, which means that was the day he turned 18. Doesn't say just that's when he was in the 18th year. That day wasn't Isaiah's birthday. He turned 18 on that day. And therefore, his tzliach last is like Nezah. Says Ben Yehuda, unbelievable thing. He was zochah to the Nez, particularly because it was his birthday. Because it's known, says the Ben Yayada, that on that day, the person's celebration of their birthday, it's a day which they have a great mazel, a great hatzlacha. And therefore, Rav ben Azariah, particularly on that day, was zochah to this great nace because he was on his birthday. Now, not everyone would call it a great nace at 18 they turned white. But for him, certainly was a nace which was necessary at that time. And that was a great nace which was gave him the cover he deserved. And says the Ben Yehuda, Arkane, And therefore, he says, it's appropriate that every person, because he has that hafacha, that mazel, on his yom haleidah, on his birthday, to celebrate it and make it a yontif l'asma. Now, what happens with Chukas Tayyim L'Salechu? It seems to be, again, the source of the Torah, some parry, we find other places, but there's at some point still needed a crossover that became something which we do, both the Malachim, both the regular people. Sounds like something which the policemen are encouraging us to go celebrate that. So, according to the Ohr HaNasa, Rav Nosson Gesetner, he has a beautiful tshuva, which calls one piece of this longer tshuva, and he says this point. That's what I was asked. Is the celebration of birthdays an issue of minigachim? The way that the non-Jew is going and acting. So this is a fascinating proof that it can't be. So the Gemara, the Mishnah we quoted in Avodah Zarah before, talks about Eloi Dehen. There were holidays that the non-Jews celebrated. And it mentions there, Yom HaLeidah, the day of the birth of the king. That was one of the examples the Mishnah gives. But the Mishnah gives other examples as well. The Mishnah also talks about Yom Sha'olam Minayam, the Yom Sha'olam Beis Asurim. There was a holiday made of those who went and they had a success in crossing the sea, all left the jail. They also turned that into a holiday, certainly of prominent figures, and they would turn those days into holidays. Says the Lawyer Nelson, Nelson Gesetner, says, I don't understand. We also celebrate those things. Those are exactly the examples that we say Gaimel on. We cross over a sea, we leave jail. You see a bracha on that. Does that mean that we're being over the Yitzchak Chukasayim L'Salaychol because they turned it into a holiday? Therefore, we can't do it? And we can't celebrate those days? And they Gaimel, we say a bracha with Shema Malchus on those days. The answer is that we're doing it for what reason? Because we'll be marking tables like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go through a sea, get out of jail, or get out of a sickness, whatever the issue was. If there's a reason for it, not just a reason, the most beautiful reason possible, to mark the tables like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Chukasayim L'Salechu. The Moritz told us, if it doesn't have a reason, if it's a reason which is based on negative things, that's what the issue is. But it's all about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can that be Yishu Chukasayim L'Salechu? We're built, we're Yehudim. From Haidah. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single day that we have. Certainly every year that we have. And a person is zocha to live another year of their lives. And they're celebrating that year of a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's certainly not Chukasayim L'Salechu. Exactly the opposite. And that's what the Ben Yayada and the Ben Ashkai are encouraging us. Celebrate it. Not making a celebration which may look like a birthday party just for a celebration which still doesn't have a concept of Hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But use that day to appreciate HaKadosh HaTeik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaZerich I married to live one more year. Wow. A gift. A gift I received. And certainly a celebration in that way is not just not an issue, but the most beautiful way of celebrating that. It's fascinating. If you look in the Peskim, how they talk about celebrating a birthday, because our Sefer used to make a Siyum on his birthday every year, beautiful idea, way of celebrating his accomplishments in Torah, together with his birthday. Others used to do set aside a day of introspection, a day of tshuva. Certainly a celebration looks very different than a celebration which made the way the non-Jews do so. It's all based on us thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he gave us, everything that we have. There is one issue which I want to reference, which is the issue of perhaps cakes, and particularly candles on cakes. Which that is a much more sensitive issue in the Peskim, of how exactly we deal with that, and how exactly we can approach that. Really two issues. The issue of having candles on the cake. Anyone know where that's sourced, where that comes from? Candles on the cake. So, I did some research into that, trying to figure out where that comes from. The consensus of many of the secular sources seem to be that it came from a celebration of the Greek gods, that they used to put on their cake candles, which looked like a moon, glow of the moon, and it was a way of giving thanks to the god of the moon. That's what seems to be the consensus, that's what the source is. That being considered, that this is coming certainly from pagan sources which have connections to Avodah Zarah, It makes it much more questionable. If that's something you should be doing, you shouldn't be doing. Taking it one step further, the idea of blowing out candles in the Sifrei Kabbalah, in the world of Kabbalah, blowing out a candle is something that's taken very seriously. Quoted here from a non-Kabbalic source, he's quoting Kabbalistic source from Rivas Sifrayim, Rifayim Kumar Tatsal, where he says the idea of blowing out a dollar candle, we don't do that. For this reason, you have the ner, the flame, this idea is based on the neshama, and the Bala Kabbalah talk about a very serious ramification of blowing out candles. So certainly the idea of candles in general, and particularly blowing out candles, may be something a person should think about avoiding. I spoke to a number of Paisim about this. Many of them said that something certainly perhaps to avoid, and something that everyone should ask their own Paisim certainly, but certainly perhaps that might be an issue, and that certainly doesn't have its sources in thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and using it as a way of thanking. Perhaps it comes from sources which are not something you want to connect to. But beyond that, certainly celebration itself is certainly beautiful and appropriate. Number of other things I want to just touch upon, I don't have that much time, I want to touch upon, which really give us another broader perspective of this issue. And that particularly applies to today, actually started the subject coming from this issue of using secular dates. Today obviously is the secular New Year, yesterday, today is a Nitcha, and it's celebrated today. So the use of the calendar, both in terms of the year, in terms of the month, in terms of the day, using those as the way we go and count. Now obviously we live in a world which the entire structure of commerce and contracts and everything we're involved in is all used to secular days. But that's still, the question is still important. Is it something which is appropriate? Certainly when you cannot use that, there are other ways of doing it. And are there ways of using the secular date that perhaps are better than other ways? This issue really begins with the year itself. The year itself certainly seems to be counting things which are not necessarily the place you want to count from. The question is asking if it's even accurate. There's a lot of debate about how accurate it is to the what they say it's supposed to be connected to the death of Yashka, but that's debatable, but really is irrelevant. It's only connected to that in some level. And using the secular date, therefore, is that an issue? And the Maram Shik, the famous Talmud Chacham Sefer, has a very strong tshuva, where he says to use the secular date is Issa Deraisa. Issa Deraisa, the question he actually was posed to him was a gravestone that was had a date on there, and they put the Yiddish date, and they also put the Gravesha date, the secular date. And he said, actually, take the gravestone and toss it out of the cemetery. So, practice which he felt was necessary because of the issue that was being violated with that. And he says, the reason why it's Issa Deraisa is not because Chukas Neim Lois Aleichu. Actually, that's a different issue. That doing something which brings mention of Avodah Zarah, for an example that he gives, the person says, meet me outside that place which is Makam Avodah Zarah, is an Issa actually, because the person is connecting and using that connection to Avodah Zarah as a place of reference. Says the Maram Shik, that using the time of reference, which is also connected to Avodah Zarah, is also part and parcel of that Avodah Zarah, that Issa of connecting to Avodah Zarah. And if he says to use the secular year, it's definitely awesome. Exactly. Now obviously, it's something which we certainly do. We use it all the time. And the question is, how the Paiskim approach this issue? So the Tshuva of Tzitz Eliezer, which is one of the most comprehensive Tshuva Svarim written in the past century about many, many contemporary issues. And he first mentions one point in the Maram Shek itself. And he says, if you read the Maram Shek carefully, you can take afterwards time to read it in source 17. Maram Shek uses very particular language. And he says that what was used in that gravestone that he's talking about, the tombstone, they didn't just write the secular year. They also wrote, after they wrote the secular year, they particularly made mention that where does that year come from? It came from the connection to the notion, to the secular, to the concept of the Avodah Zarah. And so that's why Maram Shik took issue with it. Because it was made mention in the actual use of the date, it was connected to a concept of Avodah Zarah. But he says if that wouldn't be mentioned as part of just the date itself written, Maram Shik itself, he says, would not have an issue with it. Not have an issue with using that as the actual date. That's the first point he mentioned this earlier. He goes on further, he says, therefore, using the secular date by itself without any reference, he says, what is it? It's a way of defining time. We certainly need a way, a universal way of defining time. The world needed that, not just us. And so this became a universal way of defining time. So therefore, as long as we don't mention in particular this is something which is connected to Avodah Zarah, that shouldn't be an issue of Marav Shik's question. He does end off, and this is mentioned in Source 18, Zdeen ki nevadi dein kotzorak ratu shem chuk kikri. Ein lichten otara feminanim. He said, even though certainly a person could avoid using the secular date and use our calendar date of writing, vish lahadu lahanik lichto lefitara feminanim. Because the person certainly should, all they can't use the Ivri, Jewish date, dein lebriya soilam, which goes back to Bria soilam, and the minyan chadash mishmanu, also using our month, that's certainly something which a person should do. So he says, as much as there's no halachic issue, but certainly the issue or the beauty of using our date again as a way of separating ourselves, being different, and having commemoration back to Bria Sa'ilam, which we want to commemorate certainly as the date we want to reference back to, certainly something which a person should do. So the Tzitzel certainly encourages a person when using and writing dates, try to use the date Kaddish as rather than the secular date as much as possible. But going one step further, there's a tshuva in the Be'er Moshe and the Debetzina, the Betzina Rav, where he talks about this same issue, Rav Shik's issue, and talking about the issue of what it's going back to and connecting back to Avodah Zarah. And he actually writes that he feels it would be much more appropriate not to write it out fully. For example, now it's 2017, not to write 2017, but to write 17. And he says that change sounds like a very slight nuance. It actually makes a big difference. So 2017 is saying 2017 years from a date in which stretches Avodah Zarah. 17 is really giving a clear indication. It's only a simon. It's a sign. It's a way of referencing a certain universal way of referring to time. And he says, therefore, he feels it's appropriate and proper to write in short, which clearly indicates it's a sign, rather than writing it out fully. And he encouraged the person to do that. He says, he did that all the time. He says, whenever he wrote checks, he wrote out only the last date. And he certainly encourages someone to do so. So a person who goes and changes the way of writing the secular date and writes only the last two numbers would certainly be a way of making a clear distinction between the full date, which goes back to Avodah Zarah, and using just as a sign of doing so. Certainly a hider, a more nice and beautiful way of doing so. Perhaps the more serious issue is actually in the month. The Ramban famously writes on the Pasuk, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that the month of Nisan was the first of the months. Says the Ramban that we know that was the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael. The mitzvah of counting from Nisan. For a person to go and now say one, which is referring to January, and not referring to Nisan, there are many, many persons who say that's clearly Issa Deraisa. Or, at best, not complying with the concept of the Ramban. Maybe the Ramban would not say it's an Issa to go count one. But certainly, if we're counting one and referencing January and not referencing Nisan, it's a direct contradiction. The violation of what the Ramban writes is the mitzvah Hachidus Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodash. The simple solution for that, which many places encourage a person to do, is not to use one. Using January is actually more appropriate than using one, because January is the month that we're referring to. And that certainly would be not referencing the month and saying it's the first month, but actually saying it's January, which is the month that's used. Now, there's a separate discussion about where the names of the month came from. They also come from Avodah Zarah. Separate discussion. Most of them actually don't. A few of them do. January is actually one of them. So perhaps the J-A-N would be even better than that. I mean, January is not even fully out. But certainly not using the actual number will be a preference also in way of writing the date. So a person writing a check today, J-A-N 2-1-7, would actually be certainly a hider, a more beautiful way of making a distinction between we're not just using that date, which may get involved in concepts of both Avodah Zarah, a way of counting of months, which is not really consistent with our counting of months, but using it in a very different way. Perhaps even more relevant, something which a person can accomplish on a daily basis, a mitzvah d'oraisa, according to the Ramban and others. Shlomo Zalman Zatzal points this out in Halicha Shlomo, which is referenced in sources as well, I believe source number 24. Shlomo Zalman says that every day before he said the Yom, today he said Yom Sheni, he would say the following words, Zachar Eshem Shabbos L'Kacha, and commemorating Shabbos. Now, what was the idea behind Shlomo Zalman doing that? So the Rabban writes that the mitzvah d'oraisa every single day to count back to Shabbos. Hayom yom sheni l'Shabbos. Hayom yom shlishi. To say that today is 2 days, 3 days, 4 days from Shabbos. Says the Rambam that doing so gives a commemoration and a connection to Shabbos every single day. So we say that every single day. We say the yom in davening. Do we think? Do we have in mind of that Rambam? Of the Rambam that says, by the way, count now your days of the week towards Shabbos? No, we're saying the words it says in the Siddur. We follow what the Siddur says. Says the Shlomo Zalman, if you want to accomplish a mitzvah d'oraisa according to the Rambam every single day, have it in mind. The way to have it in mind, he says, speak it out. Zachar Shem Shabbos l'kadosh. I saw this a number of years ago. I actually wrote to my Siddur before every single day of the Yom. I wrote to my Siddur, Zachar Shem Shabbos l'kadosh, and Baruch Hashem, I've been saying it for a number of years. According to the Rambam, Shlomo Zalman says the person does the mitzvah d'oraisa every single day by doing so. I gave you now a free d'oraisa. It's worth coming here to Chicago to give you a free d'oraisa every single day. An easy mitzvah d'oraisa to get and accomplish. According to the Ramban, the person can do so with just saying a few extra words, or having in mind minimally, that he's doing so and counting the days based on Shabbos. Okay, a few other just last concepts to wrap this up. One is about the use of secular names. We know that one of the reasons we were zocha to the Gula in Mitzrayim is by separating ourselves from their names, by using the names of the Mitzrayim. Beyond that, it really touches upon this issue as well. Chukasayim l'zolecho, following in the ways of the world around us, and particularly using a secular name, would that follow this issue? That's a question which is discussed extensively by the poskim. Maram Shtick again, who was mentioned before earlier, also has a tshuva about this as well, taking a very serious stance to this, a very serious issue, and saying that using a name which was instituted by the world around us, not a Jewish name, is a violation of Chukasayim l'zolecho. That's the premise of the Maram Shtick, and he takes a very strong issue with that. Now, there's a number of more contemporary tshuvas talking about this. There's a tshuva I quoted in source number 26, the Avni Yishpa, the refined handler, where he says, firstly, Maram Shtick himself was never referring to a translation of the name. Meaning, he says, example is, Moshe to Moses would not be a violation, even according to the Maram Shtick. And he explains why. He says that the translation is using the language of the country that you're in. A person can speak English. He says that if you say that same name, which is certainly a name, a Shem Yehudi, just translate that into English, it's certainly there wouldn't be an issue. So even the Maram Shtick, who takes a very serious stance, would never have an issue with using a secularized or a English version of a Jewish name. That's one thing, one point to mention. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this as well. Rachaim Chilakeisim and Yerud. We talked about the use of secular names. He actually has a number of early tshuvas as well, talking about using secular names. And Rav Moshe says, quoting on source 27, he says certainly that probably when these names first started coming into existence, there was a great uproar and crying out that using these names, secular names, etc., and certainly there probably was people who had issue at that time. But he says, Rav Moshe writes, that once the names became part and parcel of what we do, after Nishtaku Hashem is made Yisrael, Shnikra Kral Hashem is Yisrael. So once it became prevalent among Jewish society to use those names, those really became Shem Yisrael as well, which means it doesn't have to have a biblical source to be a Jewish name. As long as it's something which is used by the Jews around us, right, those names that are being used, Harry and other names, certainly which were very much Jewish type of names, that Rav Moshe writes is not an issue, not following their ways. You also use those names. Gives examples, Kerbenu Vigel and Maimon, father of the Rambam. Says Maimon is not a Jewish name. He says that Maimon is something which became accepted in those days and therefore was used as the father of the Rambam, had that name. So he says any name which became accepted as part of society certainly would not be a violation of this. A person could use that name, would not be an issue called the same as Solech. Furthermore, if there is a reason why the name is being used, particularly someone in business who has the name of Hananiah or any other similar difficult name, and he walks over, hi, my name is Hananiah. I said, your name is what? Right? So that's probably going to be something which a person might find a necessity in the business world to use a more English version of that. So certainly if you could find something which is a translation of that name would be probably the best thing. But certainly using a name for a Tuelis for a reason, based on the Ma'arik that we mentioned earlier, there's a reason why I'm doing this. I'm not just following in their ways to be like them. I'm doing it because I need a name which is going to work for me in a business setting. So certainly, again, it's a serious Shiloh, but a Shiloh should be asked exactly when and where it's appropriate. certainly naming children, etc., something which is a important question to consider in this issue. I just wanted to skip the two last issues I mentioned. Number one, Rav Moshe talks about, which is in source 30, about a double ring ceremony, which is a very fascinating question in halacha. Under the chuppah, you know that the way a Jewish marriage is done, performed, Re'at Mekudesh Asli, a ring is given from the husband to the wife. And it became certainly the practice in the secular world that it's a double ring that is given the ring back as well. Rav Moshe was asked about that and took a very serious issue with that. He says certainly it's something which is not consistent with Jewish practice, because the way Kedushin is done and accomplished is only through the man acquiring the woman, or Re'at Mekudesh Asli, that's the way it's done. And therefore he says it will be a serious issue for Kusayim Otolechu. On top of that, Rav Moshe, in his unbelievable way of defining things, says there's another issue as well. He says the second issue is that if a person will start thinking that this is the way to accomplish Kedushin, because we find that a very serious issue in Halacha. We know that Mayim Shuvin, for a person to use and go into non-mikvah waters after the mikvah, was actually an issue in Halacha in Bortan Shulchan Aruch, because people might start saying, oh, you know what really makes a person tar? The Mayim Shuvin, the non-mikvah water. And therefore, Rav Moshe compares that to this as well. He says that it's going to be something which will be clearly making a mistake. Out of that, to be a second issue as well, and if we take serious issue with that. And the last issue I mentioned is in source 31 about flowers by your grave. Very serious issue also in halacha. The place to approach that is something which was done by the secular world, by the non-Jews around us. And Rav Sharma does a tshuva in Tshuva Sanhagas, Kelakar, some Toshim Yudalit, where he talks about and says that they came from a certain giving of chashivas of importance to the guf, to the body itself, and showing that how important it is, and how chashiv it is, and decorating it, etc. And so all of that is exactly the opposite of what we stand for. We stand for a realization that the guf, the body, is something which is only temporarily housing us, but not what we give chashivas to, not what we give importance to. And the more importance we give to that, he says, it's exactly the opposite of what we stand for. He says, therefore, what we do is, we say mishnayis, we give tzedakah, things which are certainly giving a credit to the neshama itself. But doing things which give a credit to the guf and beautify, etc., that's exactly the opposite of what we stand for, and will be a serious issue for Kusayim Osalech. I want to end with a fascinating story which I saw recently that really brings us all together. It really gives us an insight in who we are and what we're all about. There was a yeshiva in Moscow that there was a fellow who showed up there. Comes in one day, an older fellow walked into the yeshiva, sat down, took a seat, hours. Sitting there for hours. And the Bachman walked over to him, Shalom Aleichem, can we get you a sefer? Can we help you? He says, no, I'm sitting. Okay. Next day, shows up again. Thursday, comes again. This goes on for weeks and months. Every single day this fellow is coming. And every day they go over to him and ask him, can we help you? Can we do something? Do you want to learn? He sits there. No, I'm okay. Yeshiva was growing at that time, and it came the day when they didn't have extra seats. And this fellow was taking up a seat in the yeshiva. They went to the yeshiva and said, you know, maybe you can speak to him and find out, like, we need a seat. The bachur who's coming and we need a seat. Can you find out, like, what are we doing? What's he doing here? Does he have to be here? So the yeshiva goes over to this fellow and says, you know, I've been to you and spoke to you many times, and we very nice that you're here and appreciate you being here, but, you know, we need a seat, sort of. Maybe it's something which you don't have to. What's going on? For the first time, this fellow opened up. He said, my name is Boris. And so I want to tell you exactly why I'm here. And if after I tell you why I'm here, you want to tell me to leave, I'm ready to leave. He says, a number of years ago, I was sitting in a cafe in Moscow, enjoying my coffee, early Monday morning, and all of a sudden, there's a bunch of people bursting the door. And they start shooting. And he jumps to the floor and everyone's ducking down. Bullets are flying. So he picked his head up for 1 second to see what's going on. He got kicked in the head. And he had no idea what happened. After about 20 minutes of this going on, these men rounded everyone up, put them in handcuffs, and took them away. And he finds himself in KGB headquarters. KGB raid of the cafe. Next morning, they walk into his cell and they say, okay, tell us, what were you doing there? He says, I was enjoying the coffee. And they say, no, what were you doing there? And they start torturing him. This goes on for 2 months. daily torture, solitary confinement, and he's stuck every single day saying the same thing. I was enjoying my coffee. I was just sitting there. After 2 months, it's going on every single day, finally I had the audacity to turn to his captors and say, you know, I was just sitting there. Why do you think that I was doing anything wrong? And the person turns to him and says, we walked in that morning because in the cafe sat a bunch of people who conspiracized against the KGB. And it was a raid. And we took in a number of such people. And you were there. And we took you in. And he says, but I was not part of them. I was drinking a coffee. And the fellow turns to him and says, if you're with them, you're one of them. If you're sitting there with them, you're one of them. And he says, eventually I got out. And I left the KGB prison. And I had no idea where to turn from here. He said, I knew I was a Jew. I knew I was not really connected to my heritage. And he said, I wanted to come to the one place I can connect to my heritage. And I walked into the yeshiva, and I had one thought in mind. If I sit among them, I am one of them. If I can be among them, I don't know an aleph, I don't know a beis, I don't know the Jewish alphabet, but I want to sit among you to be one of you. He turns to the yeshiva and says, now you know why I'm here. Because if I sit among you, I am one of you. And that is exactly what we're trying to accomplish and trying to bring out in everything that we're doing. If we're like them, then unfortunately we're one of them. If we're like us, special, unique, different, not falling into the traps of trying to in some way imitate, then if we're sitting among us, like every one of you are doing here, sitting among Choshev B'nai Torah, coming to learn on a day, quote-unquote, off, then you're one of them. You're one of the B'nai Torah, you're one of the people who value what a day off is all about, and through that we should have the greatest Chashivas for who we are. Avgolos Kamen Ha'am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us separate, different, unique, and special. And the more that we sit among the Beit Medrash, the Kaisa Beit Medrash, we're one of them, we're the epitome of what it's all about. Have a wonderful, enjoyable rest of the day. Let me know that, Taylor.